You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge. Yeah, there's a modgepodge. Whole modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from Carson, California, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com. A special edition coming at you. We're specializing and those lately, Adrian Heath talked to us earlier this week. Go check that one out. Also, our normal episode on Thursday, Carlos Bocanegra and Darren Eels of Atlanta United FC shining some light on what they might do with that number two pick, maybe trade it, and the high-profile signings that have been trickling into Atlanta for the better part of the last 6 to 8 months. This episode is special because it's a mock draft with our very own armchair analyst. I am, of course, Andrew Wiebe. With me, David Goss, Sam Stachkol, and Matt, here are the rules. We're going to go the top 10 picks. We're not going to do all 44. That would just take far too long, and you have
Napo
things
Matsoso
to do.
Napo just got screwed.
What?
Andrew Wiebe.
Napo Matsoso? No. Maybe he could move in. Maybe Matt will put him in the top 10. We'll see. Anyway, the Super Draft on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it at MLSsoccer.com. Russ Thaler hosting the guys. We got Alexi Lawless, Siggy Schmidt. Doyle's going to be there. Sasa Sarovsky, our own Susanna Collins will be out on the floor getting you insight from all the players as they're drafted, as well as coaches and GMs. Tune in for that. But here are the rules, guys. We're going to go through the top 10. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to discuss. Matt's going to give his pick for his mock draft. Maybe you're out there, I don't know, reading Matt's mock draft as you do this. And we'll see if that holds up come Friday. Usually things change. As it stands right now, there have been no trades. It's Minnesota United with the first pick, Atlanta with the second, Chicago with the third, Houston at the four, Columbus Crew, San Jose, Vancouver, Atlanta again, Columbus again, and then the Portland Timbers following. Guys, you are on the clock. Matt, give us your number one overall pick. Minnesota United FC steps to the podium. Adrian Heath is in his chair, rubbing his hands together. What player is coming into that team?
It's Jeremy Ebobise, the Generation Adidas slash not quite Generation Adidas based on some technicality U20 striker. Played collegiately at Duke for 2 years and then signed professionally with MLS early in 2016. Ended up playing at Charleston Battery in USL. To me, he's a pretty classic number nine, very mobile. We saw today on Thursday his hold-up play is very good. He scored a goal as well. Not an incredible athlete, but a good one. And the comparison I would make for him is probably Patrick Mullins, which, you know.
Yeah, you know what that means, folks. Mm-hmm. Tip it back.
Tip it back.
So, Ebobise, Dave, we were waiting to see this guy. He didn't play in the first 2 days of the combine. As Matt said, a nice little left-footed finish from him. You could see the emotion on his face. Is he the number one for sure for you? Do you think somebody else could sneak in here?
No, he's absolutely the number one. There's a reason you watch guys in person. There's a reason that you go and scout. It's you want to feel that when you're in the stadium. You want to see it in person, and he did that today for everyone here. He was strong. He held off every center back. He was first to the ball. He read the game well. He reacted well. His feet are very good. He beat the first defender a lot of times, especially when coming back to his own goal, beat that first defender so he could pick his head up and look the other way, and he scored a nice goal. But you knew he was the number one, and he did nothing to hurt his stock, and he's young, and he's doesn't count against your cap, and he has the potential to be a U.S. national team player.
He did say he thought he might go to Europe, and he explored that option, Sam. It didn't end up happening.
Yeah, so when he was 15, I guess he had some European opportunities that did fell through just because when you're a child, you can't really go over there,
yeah,
passport
tough.
Issues, that sort of thing. One thing that's important to know with him, he spent a week training with Minnesota in the fall.
They loved him.
They are familiar with him. They know what he's all about. That said, I've been hearing a lot of buzz about Abu Danladi. He's obviously a very talented player. A lot of folks think he's pretty easily the most talented player in the draft. And he's reportedly interviewing very, very well.
That's the end of our time for the first pick, and that is a perfect transition because we're at the second pick, Atlanta United. Could Abu Danladi be the number two overall pick in your mock draft here, Doyle?
He could, but it won't be Atlanta United if he is, in fact, the number two pick. So because we're going to play the game where I believe that Atlanta will hold on to that pick, then I believe they will take Miles Robinson, the USU 20 center back out of Syracuse. He looked very mobile today. He looked composed the few times he got on the ball. He has a good frame that I think will fill out some more, and he seemed to read the game well. You with the way Atlanta's spending, with the way they're hitting their own salary budget, you need guys who will be off the budget but still help you, and I think Miles Robinson is the man for him.
Sam, you saw this guy play over 3 days. You've talked to teams. What are they saying about Miles Robinson? Because sometimes with center backs, it's hard to judge in combine play.
Yeah, the one thing that's coming up most often when I talk about Miles Robinson with coaches or GMs is the word solid. Everyone's really, really kind of convinced that this guy is going to be a solid MLS player. Might take him a year or two just because he is a young center back, and traditionally it does take some time for those guys to see the game, adjust to the pros. He's a solid guy, and traditionally center backs draft pretty well.
Yeah.
You've had guys like Matt Hedges, Walker Zimmerman,
Steve
Birnbaum. And I've actually heard Robinson compared to Birnbaum.
Yeah,
by
I think
a couple
that's actually a really good comparison for
yeah.
him.
I don't think he's as good in the air, but he might be a little bit better in terms of his balance and agility.
Yeah, I think he's a bit more mobile. You're right. He's not as strong. Also, Birnbaum was a little bit older when he came out to be able to battle in there, but Robinson is a good complete athlete, seems to have some soccer IQ, and I think the Generation Adidas thinks for the only defender on that list puts him over the top.
Yeah, seems no like guarantees a pretty here, but sorry, I was right there. I was trying to throw the – I need a buzzer. I need like an automatic.
Get a buzzer. We need
and
a sound effect.
Keep buzzing, Sam. I'll get you other two buzzes very, very
Sam,
quickly.
He doesn't care what you have to say.
No, that's,
no
okay.
That's not true. Not true. Third overall pick, Chicago Fire are on the clock, a.k.a. Matt Doyle is on the clock in his mock draft here. Matt, who you have going to the Fire?
Yeah, well, I have this pick going somewhere else. This is, I think, the likeliest pick in the draft to get traded. That said, with the way we're playing it here, the Fire take at number three, Abu Dhanladi, the guy who, you know, another Generation Adidas, a Ghana-born attacker out of UCLA. He's played a little bit of center forward, and he played a little bit on the wing. I think he's probably a winger in MLS, and he's a very direct player, so I think he fits the style that Chicago seemed to want to play.
The people have to realize with Dhanladi is that he was almost a Generation Adidas player over the last 3 years. Everyone has known the talents there. The reason he's not going number one is for other things, and that is worrying for teams. And so if it's not Dhanladi, the only other name that can be in there for me is Jonathan Lewis, who's also a Generation Adidas player out of Akron University, only 19 years old. He's a winger. He's skinny, so he's going to get pushed around, but he's electrically fast, and I think he's a guy north-south right now that makes a difference.
Supposed to talk about Dhanladi right now, not Jonathan.
He likes Jonathan Lewis so much. So, I mean, Sam, what are the concerns?
What I've heard is his training habits, one. Teams don't like them, apparently. And two, kind of an inability to stay on the field. He had some injury problems at UCLA. He actually talked about the injury problems just a few minutes ago after the second combine game. He kind of attributed them. He said they were preventable, sort of attributed them to the compressed season, the fact that college teams are playing a lot of games in a short amount of time. So he said, you know, if that's a concern for teams, that's their right to be concerned about it. But he didn't seem concerned about it. Thinks he'll be able to adjust to the pro game well and not have issues.
Where do teams see him lining up? Do they see him as a winger or as a forward?
See, I was, you know, his timing was perfect. So that was
I've heard both.
That was the 2 minutes. You can get more insight from the Armchair Analyst, of course, on the live stream. He'll have all of it for you. Sam Sketch will cover the MLS Super Draft for us down here in Los Angeles. Let's talk Houston Dynamo at four. Who you got going, Matt?
The guy who would fit Houston's needs the most is Jackson Ewell, another GA kid, but I actually have Jonathan Lewis going number four, just because he's a super talented guy. Obviously, Gassman just gave us the whole scouting report on him a minute ago.
That's
You're
a
welcome.
Report, too.
I could see him sneaking into the top three, even the top two. I could talk myself into that if a team falls in love. Lewis is super quick on the turn, but not sloppy with the ball, and he's a difference maker in the final third. He gets his head up early, has vision, can be a devastating player in transition and a useful player in possession.
Doyle has his darlings, Dave. We know that. Is this your darling? Are we going to have to drink when you talk about Jonathan Lewis?
Maybe, but I don't think for the Houston Dynamo, whether they keep this pick or not, there makes no sense. He's going to be a future star, I think. So it makes sense to bring in talent, but it's not a position of need for them. And they're also bringing in young players right now. That's what Wilmer's doing. So why bring another one into those same positions? Of course, he loves to develop young players. So I would see Jackson Ewell go here as a central midfielder, or even if they want to take a risk and go outside of Generation Adidas and take a center back.
I really like Jackson Ewell here as well. Agree with what Dave said about their positional needs. You know, they've brought in Albert Ellis, Romo Kyoto, guys that can play out wide in the attack, similar to Jonathan Lewis.
Mauro Minotas, another guy similar to that.
I like Jackson Ewell here. I think he's a great fit. I think he'd be a good player for them. Really, really clean, as we've talked about.
Of course, this is Doyle's mock draft, though.
Right?
We're just here to comment on
these
it.
Guys
so,
doing?
Hey, this is a good. This is a test here because we're. Sorry, I had to ant myself there. That's 2 minutes. Doyle, we're at the number 5 pick, Columbus Crew FC.
What a goober!
You had to ant yourself, huh?
Jackson Ewell. Is this where he goes for you, or is this somebody else?
Yeah, Jackson Ewell goes here, and I think he's just as good a fit for Columbus Crew as he would be for Houston. Because Columbus asked their number 10 to play a little bit differently. Federico Higuain, he's not a second forward. He doesn't sit underneath the center forward and find a lot of goal-scoring chances. He actually is more about controlling the geometry of the game and where it's played. It requires a ton of fitness. It requires the ability to cover touchline to touchline. And it requires a lot of defensive work. And I think that's what Jackson Ewell can be. In MLS, 19-year-old central midfielder from UCLA goes number 5 to Columbus Crew.
To me, Columbus Crew SC, you're number 5. You take the 5th-generation Adidas player that's there. You have the 9th pick. You can look at need there if you want to, and you just take a guy who won't hit your cap and has talent because all 5 of them are talented.
Minnesota know a lot about Jackson Ewell. Sam, he's a guy from the state. They've seen him train in their academy. I mean, I think Manny Lagos has seen him play since he was 8 years old or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's all well and good. Unless they move, I don't think it makes sense for them to get him. However, I have heard from people that, talking about the number 1 pick, they're all a little confused about what's going to happen. It's going to be Robinson Ebobise or Don Lottie. That's kind of the consensus. But a lot of people saying they wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota traded. If they do trade down, maybe grab another player to help fill out their roster, Ewell is a guy they could get maybe in the middle of the top 10.
Anybody have anything else? I mean, I'm just waiting to answer.
I'm trying to think. Would you do the number 1 pick for number 3 and say Gam or Tam?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're getting a local guy, a guy who can fit into your midfield, and you're getting potentially more players on your roster.
Was that the end of the point? You had a good point there. That's a good point for Minnesota United. Crew maybe taking Jackson Ewell, according to these guys here. At 6, San Jose Earthquakes need a bounce-back year. They got a new GM, Dom Kinnear, trying to get him back to the playoffs, Matt. Who are they taking at 6?
They're taking central defender from Dayton, a Ghana U-20, the PDL Defender of the Year.
Best name in the draft.
Michigan Bucks, yes. Lalas Abubakar, who was he was not mistake-free this combine, but he was asked to do a lot of defending for a team that actually really kind of stunk, and he was up for it the whole time. I was a big fan of Lalas Abubakar.
A team that lacked athleticism, that team that's had a lot of injuries there. You bring a guy who's a monster athlete, good feet, not a holding midfielder. That's what we learned at this combine, but that's fine. You have Fatai Alash in front of him. You have Anibal Godoy. Right there, you've got 3 guys who can defend for you.
And you also have Harold Cummings now as well. And suddenly, in one offseason, the Quakes will have found, I think, 2 guys in Abubakar and Cummings who can be the center, the future of the team in central defense.
I've always said a strong spine is the first step to success in MLS. And Lalas Abubakar would help with that depth in the center defense and kind of help San Jose build towards that. Guy I really liked here at the combine.
Yeah, he did a really good job in emergency defending situations. He looked comfortable.
Yeah.
He generally looked like he knew what he was doing, and the players around him looked comfortable.
One of the things he didn't show was the ability to hit those long diagonals, which are such a part of how Dom Kinnear has his team play. But it's something that he could work on.
But Bernard is still there. Maybe he sits in behind and learns for a little while, plays that 3rd center back, maybe 4th center back role.
Learns how to take set pieces from Victor Bernard.
Just smash it. Just get up there and
hitting him out of buckshot.
Put through it, and that's about all Bernardes will tell you about those. Didn't end anybody there, so that's a little disappointing for me. But at number 7, the Vancouver Whitecaps step up. Matt, who they taking? What's going down here?
Chris Aduyatsum, the right back out of the University of Maryland, super athletic. I think probably the most athletic guy at the draft. A very good 1v1 defender, though somebody turned him inside out today. I can't quite remember who it was. It might have been Zeke Lewis, but he checks all the boxes. He comes from a program that produces pros. And here's the thing. Vancouver went out and got Shannon Williams this winter. Shannon Williams is a good MLS player, but right back was a sore thumb for them last year, and they have no depth there. None at all. So they need to get someone, I think, in this spot who can chew up some minutes. They compete across multiple competitions, so they, you know, he could play in the Canadian Championship, and I think Aduyatsum is the guy for him.
I think there's a number of guys you could say. Aduyatsum makes sense. He's the number one right-back option, so if that's what they're going to do. Julian Gressel is just a soccer player right now. The guy can play in midfield. He can play on the wing. He can play as a second forward. He's good on the ball, and Ja'Cory Hayes had a bad combine, but if you can get a player who's that talented, who was probably the second best player on a College Cup team, and a guy who's just good on the ball, who sees the game well, can maybe open it up for some of your speedsters.
I hear what you're saying on Hayes. I don't think he's the fit here. I agree with Matt with Aduyatsum. I like him a lot. Basically echo everything Matt just said. Super athletic, good defender. Needs to work a little bit on getting forward, but a good guy that you could get, play behind Shannon Williams, throw him in there, give him a spot starter to Canadian Championship, all that stuff, and let him really develop up there.
I actually like the Gressel shout a lot.
Yeah, the one thing with Gressel is he's a little bit older and he international slot.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he is the ideal kind of number nine for how Kyle Robinson wants to play, where it's out on the run, but he can do some hold-up work as well, and he could threaten in the air. The problem is, as Sam just said, he's an international roster slot, and I don't think Vancouver have
it's
enough.
It's so hard for
they don't
guys.
Have enough open spots to spend that.
Right back is a deep spot in this draft. I think Jacob Nowinski, a guy people have looked at. Reagan Dunk had a good season with Denver, but didn't have the best combine here. Colton Storm, a guy who had a good combine as well. And I had to get that point in, so I gave myself a little bit of time there. At 8, Atlanta United from Orlando City.
I shouldn't giggle at that. I don't want to encourage
I make
him.
The rules here. I make the rules. I'm Don Garber in this situation.
Giggling at him.
I'm sorry,
not
Don.
With him.
Let me keep my job. So at 8, who are Atlanta United taking?
I have him taking Daniel Johnson, who was the breakout player of this combine, a winger from the University of Louisville.
Atlanta kid.
An Atlanta kid.
Their academy director knows him pretty well.
He was pretty spectacular coming in, especially playing inverted on the left side. He's a right-footed player, creating a ton of chances, getting into pretty dangerous spots himself around the box, helping out in possession, springing guys with balls over the top, tracking back. He looked like the complete player. And look, he's not going to walk into the starting lineup because they've spent a ton on wingers, but they do need depth. Every team in MLS needs depth. And I think this is a guy who can give good minutes in year one.
I'm going to say Shamit Shome. He's a Canadian GA, so he won't count against the cap. He's played a ton of professional minutes. He had a bad combine. I think he was played out of position. He's already played professional soccer, so you bring guys into a combine to see if they can battle with these guys. There's no need to see that from him, and while he may not have done that as well, I think he's positionally sound for them in terms of a central midfielder, and I think if he's put in more a comfortable spot, I think he could be better.
I would be shocked if Shamit Shome went this high.
Yeah.
Shocked.
You're about to shock.
You know, I do like his professional experience and all that. He did have a rough combine, and everyone I've spoken to about him is a little bit concerned about his ceiling. They think it's pretty low. They think he's just sort of a connector. Wonder if he's athletic enough. I do love the Daniel Johnson shout here. You mentioned the wingers that they have. I think that's kind of a good situation for a player like that. He can play behind those guys. There's not going to be any pressure on him. Develop at home. Nice, comfortable situation on that front. Maybe a Miguel Almiron goes off on international duty and he can get some minutes here and there. And best player at the combine. Consensus, I think, right?
Yeah, I think for day one, for sure. I'll give you that.
Was that the buzzer? Or you
that was
the,
okay. That was the buzzer. That was not a disagreement point there. Columbus Crew SC at number 9.
Wrong.
New England Wrong. Revolution. The original holders of this pick, Crew SC, now have it. Who are they taking, Matt?
Zeke Lewis, the Bermudan winger from Boston College. He is a left-footed inverted winger, so he plays on the right.
Played opposite Johnson, I'll call
He did, and he goes direct to goal. Columbus get a ton of their attack from the wings. Justin Miram, Ethan Finley. They have Dilly Duca as well. Cedric Mbwati's gone, but they have Hector Jimenez who could still play out there. What they don't have is a left-footed guy who could play on the right and cut inside and act as a sort of an ad hoc second forward in the way that Miram sometimes does, or even an ad hoc second playmaker the way Miram did all year last year. I think Zeke Lewis fits a need for them, and he looked very close to MLS ready to me.
If we're in his mock draft world, then I would agree.
That's where we've been this whole time.
Gas has not wanted to be in that world. No. He's been banging on the door. He's been trying to escape the whole time.
He is the Derrick Rose of this team right now.
But I think Zico.
Wow.
Who am I calling if he disappears?
Joe Noah.
Call no one and hope that I never come back. If that's who I am. I would agree on Zico Lewis, though. And I don't think he's going to be a star ever, but I think he's going to be in an MLS squad for the next 5-10 years. I think he's a top 15 or so guy. I think he's a great option off the bench here and there to start, and a great option to bring off the bench to try and make a difference.
Yeah, I like Zico Lewis a lot as well. Columbus do need center backs, though. So I'd be curious to see if they maybe go that route here. Brandon Aubrey is a guy who was highly touted before the draft, or before the combine, and had a pretty bad combine. Showed pretty poorly in the performance tests. Definite concerns with that. But 4 years of tape on the kid. He is signed to MLS.
Do you think teams are sitting on him? And I'll withhold my for the time being. Do you think teams are sitting on him and saying, hey, I'm actually happy he had a bad combine? Because now maybe I'm in the 12 to 22 range thinking I could snatch this guy.
I wrote about this today. Teams that do their prep work and like guys, especially once you get to towards pick 9 through 15, they love it when guys play like crap at the combine.
Well, then somebody is happy with how Brandon Aubrey played at the combine.
It was not a shining light for Brandon Aubrey. Look, you could see the frustration on his face when he walked off the field after that final game. He was not happy with himself.
Injuring a Nico Hansen in the process.
Yes, right. He had clattered Nico Hansen pretty good. We'll see what happens with him. Maybe he'll go in the top 10, but we're going to finish off our mock draft right now with number 10. The Portland Timbers, renowned for drafting players and not really using them unless their name is Darlington Nagbe.
Careful,
Matt.
Careful.
Yeah, right? But I have them keeping this pick. There's a chance that they move it. There's even a chance that they move up, is what we've heard from certain parts of the world.
What does that mean?
Yes. So
whatever you want it to.
There's rumors in Japan that they might move up.
They're big. The Timbers are big in
Timbers
Japan.
Are huge
Lithoso
in Japan.
Lithoso, actually, is where, yeah.
I have them taking Brian Wright, the forward from the University of Vermont. He wasn't explosive at this combine, but he did a job as a center forward, holding the ball up, making some good runs, linking up play, and he's a guy who doesn't count as an international now because of the new agreement between the CSA and MLS. I think he fits a need. He's not going to play a ton, but when Fernando Adi misses a flight, you can put Brian Lewis in there and
Brian Wright.
So many Lewises.
Yeah. Shout out to Brian Lewis at the New York Post. Brian Wright in
shout
there.
Shout out to Richard Lewis
and,
as well.
And have him play as a target forward.
Michael Lewis.
I think he does. Yeah. I think he can be what they hoped Ben Polk was, the guy that they picked last year.
I'm going to say Francis DeVries. I thought he was DeVries. I
the
thought
big
he,
Kiwi.
Yeah.
You thought he was DeVries?
He's New Zealand based, as Andrew said, with his cheesy nickname as usual. Left-footed center back, good skill, took set pieces because he has quality. I think they need help. I think they need depth at that position. I know it's an international spot, and I know Caleb Porter will never play him, but I think it could be a good pickup.
If you're looking at a center back, Schmidt from Washington could be an option there as well. Timbers definitely know him well. He's just a little bit up the road in Seattle, played his college ball up there. So that could be one to keep an eye on.
Washington Huskies over the years.
They have. Yeah.
Trained with the Sounders, too, as well.
Taylor P.
During Sugi Smith's time.
Yeah, Sounders. And then RSL is another one to watch for those UW players with the Weibel connection.
We're here for RSL there. Here at – no, okay, I'll end it there. Look, that's our mock draft, or should I say Matt Doyle's mock draft. Go
I think
read.
It was kind of David Goss's mock draft.
Yeah, that was the gas man,
it was
dude.
A communal mock draft.
Started freelancing
here.
Over here.
Was I supposed to just discuss your picks?
Yeah, I mean, the premise, I don't
good
know.
Prep.
Did anyone ever explain this?
Dave's a number 10, man. He gets the ball. He does what he wants. What he floats. He goes where he needs. He goes where he needs.
Hero ball.
Guys,
classic
at this
combine.
Level, they're looking for game changers, guys who will take over. All of you right now are combine schlubs.
Whoa.
I'm a combine
This is Jermaine
stud.
Jones' preseason speech to the rookies.
Jermaine Jones.
Jermaine Jones isn't going to show up for preseason.
Oh, man. Look, watch the Super Draft. 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday. MLSsoccer.com is a stream. Our guy, Russ Thaler, will lead a bunch of Yahoos. Matt Doyle, Siggy Schmidt, Alexi Lawless, Sasha Sarovsky. Tune in for that one and make sure you stick with us. ETR, we'll have full coverage of that, a special with Adrian Heath.
Yeah, and if you have the time, go on Twitter and follow at Sam Stashkel on Twitter.
Spelt
as Stashkel is always spelt, the common spelling.
Yeah, it's the usual spelling.
The Sal Palantonio Ed Werder of Major League Soccer.
Yeah, that's a good show. Good shout. Hey, that's it for us. Stay tuned, guys. Sal, have a good week.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.